Wow. Let me get back to, now I have my microphone on. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Vineyard. How are you guys doing? Hope you're doing well. Thanks for getting up early to worship with us. You know, you early risers, you're amazing in all kinds of ways. You're probably the ones that are completely ready for Christmas. And so just relax, able to get up early. Or maybe you're here early because you're not ready for Christmas and you want to get a jump on the deals going on this afternoon. Either way, really glad you're here. My name, by the way, if you happen to be a guest, we hope you feel welcome. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. Before we get into the message, a couple things. First of all, the text that we're going to study this weekend is out of the book of Isaiah. So if you have a Bible, you have an electronic device with a Bible, Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 1 to 6, Isaiah 9, 1 to 6. If you're sort of new to our church, it's always good to bring the Bible. We always teach out of the Bible. We want to, here at our church, we want to make people into having a biblical mindset, that we look at all issues in life through the lens of the Bible. So it's always a good idea to bring the Bible with you. So Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're also going to receive our offering before we get into the message. So if I could have the ushers please come forward. And as they're coming forward, I just want to take a moment to thank those of you that give to God financially through the Vineyard, and remind you that when you do that, you really are making a huge difference in so many people's lives. You're helping to change the world one life at a time by your financial gift. We help our community. If you're part of our church, you know all the ways that we try to bless our community with food and clothing and outreach events. But you know, we do the money that we give God through our church also goes to many other things. It helps, you know, support mission stuff around the world. It helps people who are far from God come to know Jesus, and just lots of great things. So may the Lord bless you as you give. Let's pause in prayer just for a moment. Let's ask God to speak to us out of the Scriptures, and let's also ask God to bless our giving as we get back to Him. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, first of all, to worship you through the giving of our finances. And God, as we give back to you now, Lord, whether we're giving right now in the offering bags, or we gave earlier online, or we give automated, however we give, God, we pray that the money that we give to you, that you would use it to change the world, that you'd use it to glorify the name of Jesus and to help people all over the world, God. And as we give to you, we pray that you would not only bless the gift that we give, but you would bless us as the giver. And Lord, as we look into your word, into the Bible, I pray, God, that you would use the Bible to speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. God, we're not even aware oftentimes what we need to hear from you. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would speak supernaturally to each one of us in whatever way we need to hear from you, whatever things we need to hear from you, whether it's encouragement, whether it's consolation, whether it's conviction, whatever it is, God, we pray that you would do that for each one of us. And I pray especially for myself, Lord, as I deliver this message, God, would you empower me and give me the gift of teaching, because we truly want to hear from you, Lord. And so as we sang earlier, God, would you come and have your way right now in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you like Christmas-themed movies? Anybody like Christmas-themed movies? You know, movies that are based around the Christmas theme or even based around Christmas time. I think most people like those. I certainly do. And there are a lot of great movies like that, a lot of great stories that are based around the Christmas theme. You know, there's movies like It's a Wonderful Life. You've probably watched that in the last several years. If not, you need to. It's a great movie. There's Miracle on 34th Street. There's A Christmas Story. Remember Ralphie and the Red Ryder BB gun? You'll shoot your eye out. There's Home Alone. There's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Remember the Griswold family? There's Elf. Gotta love Will Ferrell. There's White Christmas with Bing Crosby. I saw as I was flipping through the channels. I think it was yesterday in the afternoon. I saw that that was being played. But Christmas movies, Christmas stories really are great. And so this weekend, we're going to sort of look at the original Christmas story. We're going to kind of go at it a little different way. But before we do that, we're going to actually listen to the story that got all the other stories started. And we're going to listen to it from a very familiar character.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Let's stand for closing prayer. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Now, you know, I know just many of you personally, and I know there are some of you here this weekend, you're really looking forward to Christmas. And I hope that's every one of you. I know it is some of you, but I hope it's every one of you. And maybe that is you. Maybe your life right now is going really great. You know, maybe your job is great right now. Your finances are doing well. Your kids are great. You know, they're making good grades. They're healthy. They're keeping their rooms clean all the time. Okay, at least they're healthy. Okay, we'll go with that one. You know, maybe it's been a really good year for you, and so you're really looking forward to Christmas. But unfortunately, not everyone is in that place. You know, there are some of us in this room that don't feel very much like celebrating Christmas at all. That's just a fact. You know, maybe that's you. You know, maybe you're struggling in one of your relationships, and so you're wondering if your family, maybe it's a family relationship, and so you're wondering if your family's even going to make it through the holidays. Maybe your marriage is just going through a really difficult time, really on the rocks. And so you're not feeling much like celebrating Christmas because of that. Or maybe you're out of work. And so you're wondering how you're going to pay all your bills. You know, maybe you're facing some sort of an illness. Or a loved one is facing some sort of an illness. And so you're wondering if this is the last Christmas that you're going to have with this person, or if it's you, this is the last Christmas you're going to have with all of these people. You know, maybe you're battling some sort of a temptation or an addiction of some kind. And the added stress of the holidays makes it even more difficult to overcome that temptation or that addiction. You know, maybe for you, if you're honest, it just feels like the world is just sort of crashing down on you. And so you don't feel much like celebrating Christmas. Well, you know, 700 years before Mary and Joseph ever thought of going to Bethlehem, that was exactly what the world was like. The world was crashing down and falling apart. I had to turn to the book of Isaiah. And in the time of Isaiah, which was 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the nation of Israel had divided into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah with its capital of Jerusalem in the south. And armies from conquering nations are forming an alliance to destroy Jerusalem and to take all the Israelites into captivity. And to make matters worse, the king of Judah at that time, his name's King Ahaz, he's turned away from God. And so the situation seems very hopeless. The people are very distressed. And so into that scene, what does God do? He sends a prophet. He sends the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah comes with a promise. Despite how horrible, despite how hopeless the situation seemed, Isaiah begins by declaring this to the Israelites in Isaiah 9, verse 1. This time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. And why? Because the promise is in the next verse. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, what is Isaiah prophesying? He's prophesying the coming of Jesus, who won't end up coming for 700 years. But that's the promise that he's talking about. And I want you to notice to whom this promise is made. It's made to a people who are walking in darkness. It's made to people who are living in a land of deep darkness. In other words, to put it in our vernacular today, it's made to for people who don't really feel very much like celebrating Christmas. And that describes some of us, doesn't it? You know, there's some of us in this room right now where we feel like we're walking in darkness. We're living in a land of deep darkness. But when you really think about it, all of us are living in a land of deep darkness. No matter how we feel about it, that's actually the truth. We're all living in a world of deep, deep darkness. You know, our world is filled with violence. It's filled with death. We're living in a world where nations oppress people. That's what the refugee crisis is all about. It's nations oppressing people, slaughtering people. And so they have to flee for their lives. We live in a world filled with war. We live in a world filled with poverty and hunger, racism. I mean, all the terrorism that's going on around the world with ISIS. We live in a world where people steal, where people's sexuality is completely out of control. We live in a world where families are continually being ripped apart, where abuse, all kinds of abuse, is just so common. People stepping on other people in order to get ahead. I mean, we are, sometimes we don't really think about it, but we are a people who are living in a land of darkness, just like Isaiah was. But see, the Christmas story promises that in this land of darkness, a light has dawned. And then a few verses later in Isaiah 9, Isaiah describes what that coming light will look like. He says in verse 6, very familiar verse, "For a child is born to us." Again, he's prophesying 700 years before Jesus actually comes. "A child is born to us, a son is given to us. And what will he be like? The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now I want us to think for a moment about these names and this promise. Isaiah tells us that this coming light, who we know as Jesus, will first of all be our Wonderful Counselor. Without a show of hands, does anybody need counsel these days? Any of you have any wisdom that you need about a decision coming up? You're not sure which way to go. Maybe it's a relational decision. Maybe it's a work-related decision. Maybe it's a financial decision. That's something we need all the time, isn't it? We need counsel. And the good news is that the light, Jesus, comes to be our wonderful counselor. And he promises that when we ask him, he'll actually give us his wisdom. We don't have to rely on our own wisdom. We don't have to rely on what the world tells us is right. We can go to Jesus, and he'll give us his wisdom. Why? Because he's the wonderful counselor. And then Isaiah says that he's not only the wonderful counselor, he's also mighty God. Man, do you ever feel a little overwhelmed by life? No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you work, it just seems like you're not able to make it on your own power. But the good news is that Jesus comes to provide us with his power. And his power is unlimited. His power is greater than you and I can even imagine. See, he's mighty God. And then the next promise that Isaiah gives is that Jesus is also an everlasting Father. You know, maybe that's something that you really need right now at this Christmas time. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're longing for acceptance, longing for love. Maybe you're wanting to feel like you belong to someone. Well, the good news is that God says that you belong to him. That he wants you to be his child. He wants you to be his son. He wants you to be his daughter. He wants to be in your life your everlasting Father. And then Isaiah promises one other thing about Jesus is that he's actually the Prince of Peace also. Now in the Bible, the word peace, it means fullness. It means satisfaction. It means, and this is probably the most important part of the meaning of that word, it means that he comes to give us a sense of well-being no matter what our circumstances are like. He's the Prince of Peace. And isn't that something that all of us need? We need peace. You know, maybe that's you really right now. You're worried, you're fearful about something. Maybe you're separated from other people by barriers of anger or maybe bitterness or resentment. Well, the promise is that God is in the business of bringing peace to our broken lives, peace to our sometimes frantic lives. See, Isaiah is promising that this son who's going to be given 700 years later, he will come and he will be our wonderful counselor. He'll be our mighty God. He'll be our everlasting Father. And he'll also be our Prince of Peace. Man, that's what we need. It's what all of us want. All of us need it. But unfortunately, sometimes it feels like we might not ever find that. You know, maybe you've been waiting a long time for wisdom about something. Or maybe you've been waiting to feel like you're accepted or to experience God's power in your life or God's peace in your life. Maybe you feel like now, right now, like you're sort of waiting in darkness, waiting for the coming dawn. That's exactly the way the psalmist felt. The psalmist says in Psalm 130, verse 6, "My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning." Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Maybe that's you. You're waiting. But in a sense, all of us have been waiting. But God tells us the good news that the waiting is now over. Because the Christmas story tells us that the light of the world has stepped into our darkness. Why? So that all of our fears and all of our hopes might be met in him. And the good news of Christmas is that the light that Isaiah promised over 2,700 years ago is available to you and to me right now.
exile here. Until the Son of God appears, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Come thou day spring, come and cheer. Our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night. In death's dark shadows put to flight. Shall come to thee, O Israel. O rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel.
I hope you were able to sort of pick up on the promises that are in that song. It says we can rejoice because Emmanuel, does anybody know what Emmanuel means? Just say it out. God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. We can rejoice because God with us has actually come. And then I love one of the lines in there, death's dark shadows are put to flight. In other words, we no longer have to fear death or fear darkness that's in the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ is born. See, the Bible says that 700 years after Isaiah makes that promise to people living in darkness, that angels appear. And they appear in the middle of the night to a bunch of shepherds. And the angels bring the good news that the promise that they've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years has finally been fulfilled. 700 years after promising that a light was dawning and that a son would be given, the Bible says that all of heaven erupts in praise because the promise has finally arrived. 700 years go by. And the Bible says that suddenly the skies are filled with good news. Look at Luke 2. Verse 10, but the angel reassured the shepherds and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." And you know what's amazing? Here we are 2,000 years later, and that fulfilled promise remains. A Savior has been born to you, to me. And the question really that Christmas asks every year is, how are we going to respond as individuals to his birth? How are we going to respond? Well, look at what the shepherds did when they heard the angels talk about this. In verse 16, the shepherds hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I love that last line. All who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished. You know, we live in an astonishing world. It's an amazing world filled with mysteries and wonder, a world that we'll never fully be able to comprehend. But I can't think of anything in the world more astonishing than the Christmas story. I mean, just think about it for a moment. In a world where people are living in darkness, the God of all the universe, the God who's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, that means he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere at once, the God of infinite power, humbles himself, leaves all the glory of heaven, and comes to earth to be born as a baby. The Bible says that he laid aside all of his privileges as God, and he comes to earth and takes on flesh. And then that baby grows up. And who does he become? He becomes the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It truly is an astonishing story. But the most astonishing part of that story is that the story is not over. It's still being written. You know, sometimes we forget that the light that came to the world 2,000 years ago, it continues to come into people's darkness today. And every single Christmas, you and I get to help write the next chapter. You and I do. And one of the ways that we write the next chapter of this story every year is by doing one of the things that the shepherds did. Do you know what the shepherds did when they saw Jesus? They went and told somebody about it. Do you ever do that? Do you ever tell anybody about what Jesus has done in your life? Do you ever tell anybody about the relationship that you have with Jesus? I mean, not in an obnoxious kind of way. I'm not talking about that. You're like a jerk for Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in a tactful way, but just telling somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a loved one, a family member, something that Jesus has done for you, something that Jesus means to you. You know, one of the easiest ways to sort of become a witness for Jesus at this time of year is just by inviting someone to one of our Christmas Eve services. I've told you many times before that people that you work with, people you live around, people that are your family members that never think about church, there are two times a year when all of a sudden they start to think about church, Christmas and Easter. And really, statistics do tell us that one out of four Americans who never go to church say that they would definitely try out a church if somebody they knew just invited them. You're working with people that are thinking about, man, maybe I should go to church on Christmas Eve, but they have no idea where to go. But if you just extend them an invitation, many of them would take you up on that. And then you never know what God might do in their life when they come. See, God is the one already drawing them. He's just using you as a conduit. By you and I stepping out and risking just a little bit, inviting someone to a Christmas Eve service, you never know that God might change their whole eternity. God's going to definitely plant a seed in their life by your invitation. And so please, please be thinking about and praying about and risking, who does God want you to invite to one of our Christmas Eve services? We have the copies of the invitations you can hand to people. You can go online and send them invitations via email. But that's one of the ways that we can be a conduit for God, is just by risking and inviting someone. And for those of you that are on Facebook, you know, make sure that you post something about our Christmas Eve services on Facebook. We can reach lots and lots of people if we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in our church just posting something on their Facebook page about coming to one of the Christmas Eve services at the Vineyard. Because the fact is, every Christmas, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, is born again. Every Christmas. Every Christmas, another heart hears the Christmas story for the very first time. Maybe they've heard it in their head, but they haven't heard it in their heart. And all of a sudden, they understand love. And they understand the promise that Isaiah talked about. They understand the promise that the angels sang about. Every Christmas, new people actually come to believe what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, in a nutshell, that really is the Christmas story. And although, yeah, this story has been told all over the world for the last 2,000 years, right now this story is being spoken directly to you. That God so loved you that he sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for your sins so that you would have the opportunity to not spend eternity separated from him. Some of you, that light is coming on in your mind right now for the very first time. That's the Christmas story. It's the story of, you know, God bursting into our lives to fulfill a promise and to offer us the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. The gift of light and love, and most of all, eternal life. And so the question is, have you personally received that gift? You know, that's one of the things about receiving a gift. When somebody gives you a gift at Christmas time, for you to be able to enjoy the gift, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. If you were to give, like me, a Christmas gift, which would be like a really good thing to do, give your pastor a gift. But if you were to do that, for me to be able to enjoy the gift, what would I have to do? I'd have to unwrap it and then take it home, you know, or whatever. If it's a fruitcake, I'm leaving it here. But but that's something about a gift. And, you know, there are lots of people all over the world. They understand that Jesus came. They understand he came as a baby. They understand he died on a cross. They believe in that. They believe he died for their sins. But they don't understand that it's a gift being offered to them and they have to personally receive it. You know, there are some of you in this room, you've never personally received that gift. I'm not talking about knowing about it. I'm not talking about, you know, what your parents have done, or you know, you grew up Catholic or Methodist or Vineyard, you've been in church your whole life. I'm not talking about that. All that's great. But I'm talking about you personally receiving the gift. Have you personally received the gift of Jesus into your life? Because if you've never done that, no matter how good of a person you are, you're not a follower of Jesus. You've not become what the Bible calls a Christian. And I think there are some of you here that you've never received that gift, but you want to. You know, I've actually been struggling with the Lord all week about this message. I shared it with our pastors. They've been praying for me because, you know, last weekend, if you were here, I gave an opportunity for people to respond publicly to surrendering their life to Jesus last weekend. And through our three weekend services, we had 40 people publicly stand up to acknowledge that they want to follow Jesus. It was a great weekend. Praise the Lord. And if you are one of those 40 people, congratulations, man. I am so proud of you. Our church family is so proud of you. But all week this week, I felt like the Holy Spirit was pressing me. I want you to offer the opportunity again. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I just did it. I don't want to do it again. Not 2 weeks in a row. And the press from the Lord just would not go away. And so I think there are some of you here that maybe you were even here last weekend and for whatever reason you just weren't ready. Or maybe you did pray a prayer of surrender last weekend for the very first time, but you just didn't publicly acknowledge that. Maybe you weren't even here last weekend, but all of a sudden a light has come on. And you're like, man, that's what I want to do. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And so if you want to do that, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. You might be saying, well, Brian, how do I do that? It just starts with a prayer of fully surrendering your life to Jesus. That's how it starts. And I'm going to pray a prayer and give you an opportunity to do this along with me. And you don't have to pray the words out loud. The Bible says that God can read your thoughts, but you do have to mean it. You have to be completely sincere. And so if you want to pray this for the very first time, you're saying, man, I want to follow Jesus. I know that I've sinned. I know I've done wrong things. I need forgiveness. And I want to be assured of having eternal life. Then why don't you pray with me? Would you bow your head in prayer for just a moment? Just open your heart to God and pray something like this. God, I know I've done wrong things in my life. I know I've thought wrong thoughts. I've said wrong words. I've done wrong deeds. God, I know that I've sinned. And I realize that I need forgiveness. And I believe, Jesus Christ, that you died on a cross for all of my wrong thoughts and wrong words and wrong deeds. I believe that. And so I want to receive that gift of forgiveness. I want to reach out right now. And I want to receive that gift into my life. Jesus, would you come inside of my body supernaturally right now and forgive me of all those wrong things that I've ever done? And to the best that I understand, Jesus, I want to fully surrender every part of my life to you. I want you to begin to lead me from this time forward. I want to experience eternal life. You know, the Bible says that if you prayed that prayer, you may have felt something, you may not have. We're all wired differently that way. Some of us are feelers, some of us are not. That doesn't matter whether you felt anything or not. The truth is, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, Jesus did do what you asked him to do. And he's given you a new start. And he wants you to begin to follow him. And that's part of where the Vineyard comes in. You know, you're sort of like a baby Christian right now, and God wants you to grow. And that's a lifelong process. But we want to help you in that process. And so being part of our church and getting into a small group and being consistent in church attendance, those kinds of things, they really help you grow. They really do. But the thing that Jesus says is that when we become followers of His, He wants us to let other people know about it. In fact, it doesn't really take until we let other people know about it. It's not like we can just have a private relationship with Jesus. He doesn't allow us to do that. In fact, Jesus Himself says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, "Everyone who confesses Me in front of other people, I will confess him before the Father's in heaven. But whoever denies Me in front of other people, acts like they don't know Me, I'll deny them before My Father who's in heaven." So He doesn't let us be private. He makes us go public. And so like I did last weekend, I want to give you an opportunity to go public right here in this room in just a moment. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to be very brave and to stand up and to let everybody in this room know. But before I ask you, I want to alleviate a little bit of your fears, because I know that's a scary thing in a room this big. First of all, you're probably thinking, what if I'm the only one? Well, what if you are? This is between you and Jesus. Do you really mean it? You probably won't be. But it doesn't matter if you are or not. Second of all, the vast majority of us in a moment that don't stand up, the reason we don't stand up is because we've already done something like this. Sometime in the past, we're already followers of Jesus. And man, do we love it when God adds new people to His family. We love it. And so we're already on your side. You really don't have to be afraid of anything. And so if you prayed that prayer for the very first time a moment ago, and you're brave enough to go public and say to all of us and all the angels in heaven watching that I've decided to follow Jesus, I'm surrendering everything to Jesus, I want to pray a special prayer for you. Would you stand up right now, wherever you are? God bless you. God bless you. If this is for you, stand up. This is a holy moment. God bless you up there. Stay standing. Stay standing. Those of you that are standing, I know it's weird. It feels weird. Stay standing. Let's get some of our leaders to go around. I want to tell those of you that are standing, first of all, that we are so proud of you. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. But second of all, I want you to know God loves you so much that He pressed me all week because He knew the decision that you were going to make. That's how much God loves you. And so we want to say a special prayer for you, and then we want some of our ministry team members and leaders to pray for you and then sit down with you, get some information from you so we can follow up with you. We want to, you know, get you in a small group. We want to help you to grow in this new relationship. So those of you that are seated, if you're anywhere near somebody that's standing, would you just put out your hand toward them and just agree with me in prayer for them? Okay, we're going to pray for them right now. Lord, thank You so much for our new friends in the faith. God, thank You that You pressed on me all week Your desire to give an opportunity for these men and women to actually cross the line of faith and to translate them out of darkness, as Your word says, into Your marvelous light. I pray that they would feel Your smile in their soul right now, God. I pray that they would have an understanding of what's happening inside of their soul as far as eternity goes, that everything has changed as far as eternity goes for them because of this, that generations are going to actually be changed because of this moment right now, that future generations are going to be affected because of the decision that they've made to follow You, Lord. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would come and You would fill them right now. Fill them up, God. Just wash away all the darkness, all the junk, anything that's there, God, just wash it out and fill them with Your light. Allow them to feel and experience Your joy right now, God. And I pray, Lord, that You would Go before them and spring all the traps that the devil has set to try to knock them off this narrow path that they've decided to walk on today. God, bring people around them that will help them to grow. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way in their lives. Now, those of you that are around them, just take a moment, and if there's something you want to pray, maybe a prophetic word that you have for them, some sort of revelation from God, share that. And then sit down with them afterwards, make sure we get some information. Now, for the rest of us, if there's some sort of business you need to do with God, just in these last couple of moments, you know, make sure you do that before you go. There's no reason that not every single one of us can leave this room in a moment knowing we're right with God, knowing that. And maybe you'd like someone to pray for you about something that's going on in your life. We'd love to do that. In fact, when we dismiss the service in a moment, we're going to have a ministry team here at the altar. In fact, if the ministry team that's not already engaged, if you could come to the front, we're going to have them here, and we'd love to pray for you before you go. If you're a guest on your way out, if you've never been to a guest welcome, we'd love you to stop by in the information center. We'd love to give you some information. And then please be praying about and risking. You only have a few more days to do this. Who am I going to invite to our Christmas Eve services? And then be praying for me, be praying for those that are going to be involved in the service. It's going to be a great service. It's going to be one of those where you're like, man, I'm so glad I invited so-and-so. You're going to be proud of your church family. It's going to last 1 hour. It's going to be a great, great time. So make sure you're here. Make sure you invite some people to come as well. Could I have everybody stand? I want to just pray a blessing over all of us as we go. Would you just receive this blessing from the Lord? God, thank you for your presence here today. And I pray for all my friends, God, as they go their separate ways. First of all, Lord, I pray that you would put burdens on all of us for those that you're wanting us to step out and risk and invite to a Christmas Eve service. And God, we ask that you would be working in their life, even right now, drawing them, God. And as they receive this invitation, that you would use it to draw them even closer to you. Whether they actually come or not, that's up to you, Lord. But God, help us to be obedient and to step out and invite. And so bless us as we go, God. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor to us, God, and give us peace as we go. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people around you before you go. Be inviting. And don't forget, Sunday night football. Go Cardinals!